5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. I'd be crazy not to talk tournament this morning. The Monday after Selection Sunday is a very special day in the sports world. It should be a national holiday. In the spirit of such a joyous occasion, well, that is, unless you go to NC State or Clemson and are feeling a little left out, sorry about that, we have two really cool promos going on. The first one, you have to earn. We are creating a bracket challenge on ESPN. Actually, I shouldn't say we are creating. It has been created. We are doing a bracket challenge on ESPN. The group name is Work in Sports hashtag Job Madness. There are no spaces in Work in Sports because there wasn't enough room. So it's Work in Sports, no spaces in there. And then a space, hashtag Job Madness, no space in there either. So Work in Sports, no space, hashtag Job Madness. I'll link to the group. Let's make this easier. I'm going to link to the group in the show notes for this episode. I'll post it in our private Facebook group, and I'll do it on Twitter. And if you still can't find it, the internet is pretty tricky after all, you can hit me up on LinkedIn, and I'll make sure you're in. Here's the deal. I'm going to create a bracket. I just finished Zion. And at the end of the tournament, Zion, if you beat my bracket, Zion, you'll get a free month at workinsports.com, Zion. What does this mean for you? Are you getting any subtle messages in there, by the way? What does it mean for you to get a free month at workinsports.com? It means full access to the 10,264 active sports jobs in the industry right now from thousands and thousands of different sports employers, and the ability to apply with ease. You can upload your resume. Get this. You can upload your resume and we'll match you to jobs your skill profile fits. You put in your resume, we come back and say, boom, this one's a five-star match for you. You are a good match for this job. Pretty magical, right? Now, about beating me in the bracket challenge, okay? 2 years ago, we did this, and I came in tied for 370th. That's right, 370th out of about 1,000 people. It's still really terrible. Last year, I think it was even worse. I think it was like, somewhere in the 500s. So you don't really have too much to fear. I would love to sit here and talk all cocky and say, you can't beat me, but that's probably irrational. I think there's a pretty good chance you will beat me. The last time I officially won a bracket was in 1993 during my freshman year of college. Seriously, I remember it well. I had picked Jason Kidd's California Golden Bears to upset Grant Hill's Duke Blue Devils in the second round. And I actually picked the exact finals, UNC, to defeat Michigan in the championship. That year, I was a baller. This also shows you how old I am, since both Jason Kidd and Grant Hill are now well into retirement. And they're not only out of college, they finished their pro career too. This began my downward spiral into a theory that ball-dominant guards dominate the NCAA tournament, and that top big men can be easier controlled than a top-notch guard because they have the ball in their hands, right? That's why I leaned on Jason Kidd, and it worked. All right, here's the problem. It also led me to bank on Chris Paul while he's at Wake Forest, Lonzo Ball with the UCLA Bruins, Penny Hardaway with the Memphis Tigers, Damon Stoudemire with Arizona. Hell, even Steve Nash's Santa Clara Broncos I had pegged for upsets because I had an infatuation with him back when he was in college. That one actually worked out pretty well. But go back through the history books, he actually had some pretty cool upsets. My point is, my brackets always skew this direction. I'm always guard heavy, and it always fails me. Also, Michigan State. Michigan State always gets me. I always overvalue them. So I'm learning from this process that I am hella stubborn. I have not learned over 25 years. Holy crap. I think it's time to give up on this theory of ball dominant guards and head to the wing. Hello, Zion. Then again, I'm letting the cat out of the bag here, overvalued Murray State and their stud in the back court, Jay Morant. Or Ja, or whatever. I don't know. I've watched him play a lot. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. Don't really care. All right, enough about the bracket. If you don't want to wait for the tournament and risk your chances at beating me one-on-one, we also have a more straightforward approach. Get 2 weeks of access to workinsports.com for just $5. Five ducats. Now, that's really easy. You can do that right now. Go over to workinsports.com/promo. /jobmadness. It's kind of our theme for March Madness, #jobmadness. So you sign up on that page, workinsports.com/promo/jobmadness. 2 weeks, $5. Pretty cool. All right, let's continue with the theme. Today's question comes in from, get this, Adriana in New Jersey. I saw this and immediately thought Sopranos. Adriana from New Jersey, come on. But then I thought about it, and I'm guessing there are probably a lot of Adrianas in New Jersey about 15 to 20 years old right now. Because The Sopranos, I think, started in like 2001, and she was in the original episode and kind of ran all the way through until Steve Van Zandt killed her. But I don't want to, no spoiler alerts here. Anyway, let's get to the question. The question from Adriana. Brian, love the podcast. I listen to every episode and take notes. Your insight into the industry is a gold mine for me and has given me such confidence and guidance. Thank you, Adriana. This is also why I read your email, because I like the compliment. Since we're in college basketball mode, I wanted to ask about jobs in college sports. I rode crew while in college and would love to continue working in college athletics. I believe there's nothing quite like it. So many of the athletes play just for the love of the game, knowing there is no money in it for them and no real future. We build strong relationships, learn leadership and time management skills, and know what it's like to compete and never give up. My question, after that long preamble, is on timing. I'm in my senior year and will be graduating in a few months. When is the right time to start applying for jobs? Adriana, this is a great question, one that comes through a lot, and I have a lot to say about it. My simple answer to you is to start about 5 to 6 months before your graduation. So if you're graduating at the end of the spring semester, January, February is a great time to start. Now, why so early? Well, the process takes time on both sides. It takes a while for employers to find the right match for a job, and it takes time for you to be the right match. There's no shame in getting started kind of early. Most people overthink this process. They'll email me and say, it feels too early. What if I get an offer and I have to tell them I can't take it because I'm not really graduated yet? And then, what if somebody wants to hire me, but I'm not really ready to start yet? Well, here's the deal. That's a good problem to have, and we can figure that out. My recommendation is when you are first starting to apply for jobs, be really transparent in your cover letter and your resume. Include a final line of your resume that says, graduating May 2019. And in your cover letter, make your last paragraph something like, I'm currently finishing my degree and will complete my studies in May 2019. I am qualified and interested in your open position and hope my current status won't be an obstacle for consideration. Ooh, that was pretty good. Rewind, write it down. That was pretty decent. If you let them know clearly your status and don't hide anything in the process, you're fine. The choice is theirs to make. Now, for the record, the last thing you want to do is spring it on them during an interview. So let's say you don't mention any of those things, and then you submit your resume and your cover letter and they like it and they bring you in for an interview and you're like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm not really available until June. Now that's in poor taste and it could make them mad. But if you present yourself in a transparent nature with a professional resume and cover letter and they like what they see, they will make a choice. They will either push you to the next round or not. They aren't going to punish you, right? So let's run through this even further. You've been transparent. You applied for a job you're really qualified for, and they think to themselves, not right now, but maybe later. Every employer, hiring manager, and human resources manager has a file of resumes to consider. You know, this little file in your desk. I liked this one. I'm not ready for him now, or I don't have the right role for him now, but I'm going to put this one away for later. You could find yourself in that file. They could have something open in a couple months. So starting a little bit early isn't a bad thing. Now, here's the important part. Don't overdo it. Start slow. In the early days, so let's say you're starting up in January, you're not graduating until May, start slow. Be specific and apply for, let's say, 2 to 3 jobs in January, ones that really, really, really fit you to a T, right? You're really qualified for it. You're not just applying for a lot of jobs. You're applying for ones you really fit for. Then, maybe 4 to 5 come in February, and then maybe 7 to 10 in March. Ramp up from the beginning. I say this because if you start blazing a trail in January, applying to everything with the word marketing in it, you could start to look like you are being unintentional. And employers hate that. Trust me, the feedback I get from employers all the time is that they want to hire someone that wants this particular job. They are a right match for it. They want it. Right? This is what I'm ready for. If you're just applying for everything they offer, they stop taking you seriously. So at the beginning, don't overdo it. Really apply for jobs that you think you are a perfect match for. They don't want you, employers do not want you to apply for every job they post because then you don't look interested in that job. You just want a job. See the difference? It's important. Really target the jobs you are a great match for early on. Then as you get closer to graduation, well, yeah, branch out a little bit, reach a little bit wider. Maybe you've got 80% of the skill set. Maybe you've got 70% of the skill set they want. Okay. So start now. Don't overthink it. Find those really strong matches. Apply for them. See what happens. Okay. Now let's have a little fun. We have this really cool infographic we're publishing later today that I'll include in the show notes for this episode as well regarding March Madness, or as, like I said, we like to call it hashtag Job Madness. You're going to see me out there on social media using that a lot. You might get annoyed, but I'd like you to do it too. Go ahead, use it. Hashtag Job Madness. It fits in this conversation perfectly. So let's talk about the rhythm of hiring. One subject I get asked a lot about is, are there certain hiring seasons in sports? And it differs for each professional league or sport or industry. And for college athletics, which fits Adriana's passion, we have jobs posted throughout the year. Every month has a lot of representation, hundreds of jobs. But there are 3 months in particular that are most active. And this is, there are details of this on the infographic I'll publish later. May, we had 330 active jobs posted last May. In June, there were 311 active new fresh jobs posted. And then in July, 270 active fresh jobs posted. That is the hiring, the most active hiring season for college athletics. By far the most popular hiring months for college sports. And it makes sense. Think about it. Getting staff in order for the coming school year. Keep that in mind as you think about opportunities. Every industry has a bit of a rhythm to it, right? They have their off season, they have their filling spot season, and you have to look at that as a time to really lean in. And summertime is definitely a time to lean in. Now think about that. If you're not serious, if you're not ready, if you're like, oh, I'm going to take the summer and have a good time, I'm going to go to the beach, I'm going to party, I'm going to do fun stuff. No problem with that. But make sure you don't miss this window if you want to work in college athletics. Make sure you get your applications in. Make sure you take it seriously looking for jobs and doing your interviews. This is an important time you don't want to miss and then be waiting for the next cycle. Okay, let's move down the graphic a little bit. Really cool information. Like I said, I'll post it later. Over 1,500 people will work at US Bank Stadium for each game day. That's a lot of temporary staffing. Think about it. Security, concessions, ushers, you name it. And that doesn't even include all the reporters and camera operators. In addition to the 1,500 worker bees daily, another 2,000 volunteers. That's crazy. It's a lot of people. I say it all the time. The annual events are the best volunteer opportunities. Think how cool it would be to have on your resume that you worked for the Final Four, right? Pretty cool. And especially if you're doing something, you could be entertaining sponsorship guests, or you could be part of, you know, there's a lot of different roles that you could be filling in a volunteer role. Okay, let's move down the graphic again. What about apparel companies? Nike sponsors 44 teams in the tourney. They have a way more than anybody else. And we, Workin' Sports, had 2,514 job openings at Nike last year. That is a lot of jobs. Look at that. Man, there's crazy churn. Lots of job openings at a huge global organization like Nike. Let's look at Under Armour, 12 teams in the tourney that they sponsor, and we promoted 1,797 of their jobs last year. That's a lot too. Jeez. Adidas, 15 teams in the tourney, so three more than Under Armour. Not quite as many jobs. They had 1,103 open jobs last year. I'm going through the data, and there is no Puma. Puma is not represented here. No Pony, Fila. I don't see any Reebok pumps anywhere. No big baller brand either. Oh boy. Can't believe I just said that. I swore myself off of the Ball family. Talk about irrelevant. Anyway, moving right along. Okay. Over 125 people work around the clock for the first 2 days of the tourney from the CBS Broadcast Center in New York City. That is a job that I've held before. It's a grind during March Madness. Not at CBS, but when I was at CNN Sports Illustrated, man, March Madness was crazy. Minneapolis city leaders expect the tournament to bring in $135 million to the local economy. Dude, sports is awesome. Think about that. Final four, three games, okay? Two final four games, one national championship game. Big event, hotels, people coming in, spending money, doing their thing, fans, airports, restaurants, everything's filled. $135 million coming into the local economy. Phew. All right, there's more on the infographic. Check that out. I'll post it as part of the show notes for this episode. Good luck with your brackets, everybody. I am going to crush you. So remember to join our bracket challenge. Again, work in sports without any spaces. Then in one little space, hashtag Job Madness is the name of the group. We will link to it in the show notes. I'll put it on the Facebook group page. I will put it on LinkedIn, wherever else you want to see it, whatever. Coming up Wednesday, one of my dream guests. Okay, I've had a Mount Rushmore. I've had a group of people that I'm like, if I can get these four guests, I'd be thrilled. I want more than that, but you know, there's some that I've always aimed for. Brian Srabian is the Vice President of Digital Media and Brand Development for the San Francisco Giants. When you talk social media and fan engagement, Brian is the OG. He is on the Mount Rushmore of this industry, and I'm not overstating it. He's been with the Giants for 18 years, and he's been on the cutting edge of social media for a really long time. And not just social media, content, and fan engagement, and just making it fun at the games. You are going to love this conversation. I know I did. Tune in Wednesday for that. And then next week, I'm hoping we get this one done and scheduled, but I have a really cool guest that dovetails perfectly into the March Madness, as long as one of the number one seeds makes it all the way through the first weekend. I'm got my fingers crossed. Again, thank you so much for listening. Please rate, review, share with your friends, get it part of our private Facebook group. I mean, if you like what we're doing, please don't be shy about it. Don't hold it to yourself. Get it out there. Now, everybody, it's time to get back to work.